to the next step in the program here. We are pleased to welcome to the KSU studios Mr. Pat Denizio of the Smithereens and other fame and fortune. He's kind enough to drop by the station. And first off, Pat, did I pronounce your last name right? That's what I want to...
Denizio.
Okay, I'm glad I did that. You want to start from the beginning or work backwards? What was your, what got it all started for you? Was it when the Beatles came to the U.S. and you were a kid, or?
Yeah, no, I was. My cousin Leonard tells a story, and I don't know how interesting this is for anyone out there, but I grew up in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I really didn't discover my true nature until a friend recently gave me the entire television series box set of The Sopranos, which I had never seen. You know, I aged like Tony Soprano. I talk a bit like him. I'm from Jersey. We were in the garbage business for 40 years. So basically, I'm coming from that Italian-American garbage truck background. And I was playing guitar in bands before the Beatles were around. I'm 53 now. But the Beatles...
Before the Beatles were around, you must have been pretty young then.
Yeah, I was 6 years old.
You started playing guitar at six. Wow.
Yeah, and I remember seeing a band outside playing a clam bake where we had steamers and draft beer and corn on the cob and all that and amusements in a field in the older America, the America that I knew growing up. And they were playing outside at night. It was the most glorious sight and the loudest, most joyous noise I'd ever heard.
Yeah.
This quartet standing on a flatbed truck with a generator-powered Fender amp sound, matching Tweed Fender amps, four matching blue Fender guitars, red Blazers, and I said to my dad, "Dad, I want to be in a band. I want to play guitar." He said, "Well, son, that's a fine thing for you to do, and I go for lessons." And I said, "But Dad, I also want to be a Cub Scout." He said, "Well,
can't do both."
He did say that. He said, "That's a great thing. It's the fine thing for a young boy like yourself to want to do, be a Cub Scout, because the Cub Scouts were like this organized gang that wore uniforms,
right?
Saluted the flag differently, and it was pretty cool back in '60, '61 to be a Cub Scout. But in any event, he said, you have to choose. We don't have enough money to do both." So I had to make my most important life decision at age six. And I chose to play guitar, and
the rest is history.
Yeah, years later, I formed a band called The Smithereens, and we're still together 30 years later. And I'm playing at the Red Devil Lounge tomorrow night
up in San Francisco. That's very cool.
SF on Polk Street.
So
around nine.
As long as we're talking history here, so help me connect the dots. This was when you were a kid. You made the choice to go forward with music. What happened in the 70s? Because I know the Smithereens didn't start till 1980. What happened in the 70s?
I graduated high school in 73, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. Back in that time, in a time before cell phones, in a time before computers, in a time before text messaging or Twitter or cable television, there was nothing. There were no technological developments that were marketed to the public in the 70s.
Right.
That I could think of, maybe the touch tone phone.
Yeah.
That was about the height of
technological advancement.
Exactly. So basically, we were confronted with a very bad period where all you had to listen to that was out there. In other words, it was tough to make it. You couldn't get us. Although we did have great music in the early 70s, in 74. The airwaves were consumed. You could listen to Cat Stevens 1 second, then hear Gilbert O'Sullivan, then hear Slade, then hear David Bowie and the Spiders from Mars, Ziggy. You could hear King Crimson, Yes, Black Sabbath. These were all young bands. They were all 21, 22.
Right.
And if you liked pop, you could hear Loggins and Messina, and there was the Allman Brothers, the Southern Rock sound, Iggy Pop and the Stooges. There was a lot of stuff, you know.
Right.
But for the average kid in a band to figure it out, there was no root of encouragement. And then punk rock came around. I remember seeing the Cramps at CBGB's and in 1975.
Wow.
And I'm reminded of that because Lux Interior, the singer, was someone that the Smithereens know. And I walked into CB's to see what it was about. And there was myself, my friend, the Cramps on stage, and just Joey Ramone and his girlfriend in the audience. There were four people.
Did you know at that time it was Joey Ramone? Or?
Yeah, I knew. Because
well, I guess because the Ramones had just gotten started.
Well, I read all the rock magazines, Rock Scene, you know, things like that. It might have been 76, 77, but I think it was around 75, actually. And so I kept an eye on it. But it wasn't until Elvis Costello came out and Graham Parker and Devo and Nick Lowe and Dave Edmonds and a lot of the stiff artists in the UK, as well as a lot of the bands out of Akron, Ohio, the new wave stuff, and the stuff out of New York, like the Dead Boys, the Talking Heads, and the Ramones.
Right.
It wasn't until that sort of DIY, the do-it-yourself thing entered the equation that we thought there was any hope. But it was upon discovering Buddy Holly, one of his old albums, that I thought, I want to become a songwriter. The Beatles material was a bit too daunting, a bit too sophisticated.
Right.
So the 70s are like, for many of us from that generation, they were a black hole of sorts. We were taught, in the way the kids today are taught certain values, we were taught that it was absolutely grotesque to talk about money or to even aspire toward making money. So we didn't know what we were going to do. I mean, all of my friends, no one did anything. A couple guys went to the Navy. A couple guys became bartenders. Class of 73, the lost generation.
So, well, you survived.
Well, no, but we formed the band, the Smithereens, in 1980, and then we spent 5.5, almost 6 years in obscurity. And I sent the tape, a cassette tape, that now defunct format, to a fledgling label out of El Segundo, California, called Enigma Records, and they signed us without hearing the band. A week later, I got a phone call from them saying, "We love the tape. Would you like to do a deal?" And this is after 6 years of nothing.
Yeah, it was interesting how that chronology went. I was actually, when I first read about the Smithereens history, that you guys actually started in 1980, because I mean, the first full length was 86, right? Especially
well,
for
well,
you.
Well, my dad was trying to discourage me out of it around, I don't know, the fall of 85 or so, before we got the record deal, and he wanted me to come back and work on the garbage truck. And it was the first time that my dad and I ever sat down across from each other and cried. We had a bitter argument, and I said, "I'm not quitting the band. This is my life." Within 6 or 7 months, he was sitting in the 10th row at Radio City Music Hall, one of the most prestigious, you know, wonderful venues and historic venues in the world.
That must have been pretty special
in New York
City.
Yeah, and we were opening for Lou Reed.
That's awesome. First big tour then.
Yeah. And
how did you guys all meet? I know the other three guys, they're all from the same town in Jersey, and you were a little further away.
The rest of the Smithereens grew up in a town called Carteret, which is obviously still there. It was more of a shot in a beer town, and we Scotch Plains, where I came from, was a slightly different town, more colonial, a little bit older.
I just watched something on TV about some UFO sighting in Carteret, New Jersey, a few years ago. People were taking these pictures of these floating lights over Carteret, New Jersey.
That's funny.
I think it was somebody who was lighting flares into balloons or something, but it created this whole stir.
For me, it's a miracle that we're still doing this after 29 years.
So the Smithereens get together and play as the Smithereens. I know you're doing your solo thing.
We just came back from Spain, where we hadn't been for 19 years, and someone paid me a tremendous compliment. He said, I saw you here. A Spaniard came up to me, a gentleman, and said, "I saw you here in this venue 19 years ago." He said, "You were the best then, and you were the best now."
That's
that
good.
A wonderful compliment.
That is wonderful.
Because we work very hard at it, and we haven't changed the sound of the band one bit. We still sound like a garage band.
Yeah,
we work to preserve it. No, we don't add keyboards. We don't add horn sections. It's just flat out rock and roll.
Yeah, and that formula never dies. You know, as long as you have good songs, it can go on
what's
forever.
What's interesting to me is that because of downloading on the internet, and because music is so ubiquitous, it's everywhere, and because also it's starting to be written about us that we're like a huge influence on Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, and the songs and sound of that band were influenced by the Smithereens more than just about anybody. people are starting, young kids are starting to look into what the Smithereens are about, and they're absolutely baffled that we're still playing and that we still sound good. But my daughter is 15 now, and she's going to school in California, and she said, "Dad," she said, "all the kids know about your band." I said, "Well, how is that?" You know, and she goes, "Well, it's because we all listen to classic rock. We listen to Led Zeppelin and all that."
So you're officially classic rock in the teenager set now, right?
Even though, you know, we've put out 8 albums in the past 3 years, and I started an ESPN television special. We're still working more than most of our contemporaries, but on this sort of quiet level. But anyway, she said this boy here at school was absolutely out of his mind when he found out that you were my father. You know, that my father's the guy for the Smithereens. And she goes, "That helps me a lot because I have a big crush on him." So, you want to play something from the
Play something from the Buddy Holly tribute. So is this available now? It's out,
yeah,
right?
It's called Pat the Nizio Buddy Holly. Yeah, you can.
And these are all...
You can get it on Amazon. You can buy it.
It's a new release on Koch Records, and I recognize a lot of songs here, of course. Well, all right, things too.
Really doesn't matter anymore. That's got interesting use of strings.
Okay, well, we're going to play some brand new music from Pat Denizio, his Buddy Holly tribute.
I'm playing tomorrow night at the Red Devil Lounge on Polk Street in San Francisco, and it's my acoustic solo show.
You going to be playing some Buddy Holly songs for that?
Yeah, songs. Awesome. Songs, sounds, and stories. And,
yeah.
It's a good show.
Go to reddevillounge.com for tickets and info on Pat's show tomorrow night. We're going to play a track right now from his Buddy Holly tribute. It's the Power Pop Show on KSU Santa Clara, your underground sound.
There you go, baby. Here am I. Well, you left me here so I could sit and cry. Well, God, gee, what have you done to me? Well, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. Do you remember, baby, last September, how you held me tight each and every night? Well, the whoopsie-daisy, how you drove me crazy, but I guess it doesn't matter anymore. There's no use in me crying. Well, I've done everything, and now I'm sick of trying. I've thrown away my nights and wasted all my days over you. I go mine now and forever till the end of time. I'll find somebody new and we'll say we're through, and you won't matter anymore. Oh yeah.
There you go. That is some brand new music from Pat Denisio of the Smithereens, reinterpreting a classic there from his Buddy Holly tribute album, which just came out a couple months ago. It's a new release on Koch Records.
No, it came out very recently, actually. It came out in January.
Yeah, a couple months
27th.
Ago.
No, about a month.
About a month. Is that all? What month are we in? It's March. It's only March. Oh, okay. But this is available online, Amazon, and
yeah, everywhere. iTunes, Amazon. It is ubiquitous.
Yep.
Probably more available on BitTorrenting sites where people are stealing it, but you know.
Music's like water now. It's pretty much free, isn't it?
That's why we need to get all of our fans out there to the Red Devil Lounge to support. The arts to go out and support live music and get away from the slavery, the chains, the shackles of the widescreen, flat screen, high def television set. It's important that you go listen to someone laying it online, like Pat DiNizio, like me, playing at the Red Devil Lounge tomorrow night.
You're a good pitch, man. You've got that plug in four times since you've been here.
Well,
that is tomorrow night.
You know, I created the unsigned band channel at XM Satellite Radio. There's gaps in my history that you've left.
I have a list actually of things I want to ask you about.
You can't really depend on Wikipedia for reality.
Uh oh.
But you know, after a while, I stopped forwarding to the record company the list of BitTorrent sites that were giving away my record and giving away Smithereen stuff. It's diabolical. A friend of mine works at Billboard, and I was told some inside information, which I don't mind sharing with you and your audience. And I pray that this information is wrong, but because it came from an inside source, I know that it's 99% accurate, that the Foo Fighters had the number one album a little while ago on the Billboard charts, several months ago, whatever it was, and it only sold 60,000 copies. Now, that's nothing.
Right.
I mean, number one album just to sell 6 million.
Right.
So all of you out there downloading music for free, what is happening is you're robbing and destroying the incentive of the artist, at least the artists of my generation.
Sure.
To create anything new. Why on earth would I want to write albums that will not provide a living for me? You know,
right.
Perhaps if this were, you know, a Marxist, a neo-Marxist regime, you know, where
right.
we weren't getting paid for work. It's as though you go to work and you work for 2 weeks and you're waiting for your direct deposit to come through to your checking account and it never shows up, ever. So you put a record out. A reviewer gets the record in advance before it's even released. It's sold to someone via eBay who puts it on a BitTorrenting site, and immediately the world owns it.
Right.
And you can't make your living from it. So if you can't make your living from music and you have a genuine talent that relieves the burdens and cares of the day of the average individual, that's what music does. It gives life.
Right.
You know, and it gives joy. So keep stealing music and keep driving artists underground, and you'll have nothing but classic rock.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Well said. So speaking of putting it all together, I mean, you obviously have a pretty broad tour underway doing house parties. I mean, is that kind of your bread and butter right now of doing all these shows back-to-back, month after month? Or is that
it's
for fun?
I do one of these every 10 years. I do house concerts every year. People fly me out, they pay my fee, and I give an intimate concert in their home. They're very special events, which bluegrass and folk musicians have been doing for a long time. I first discovered them 10 years ago when I ran the grants program for Jim Beam Liquor Company. It's called Benefiting Emerging Artists in Music, BEAM.
Right.
And a young woman out of Spokane, Washington was grant recipient, and we're going to give her $3,000 to refurbish her touring vehicle, her van. And I asked her where she was playing, and she said, well, I do house concerts. And upon further inquiry, I found out that she would drive to her fans' homes in her van, and she'd sit on the couch and play her music, and they would pass the hat and she made her living. So I put the word out back in 2000 that I was going to attempt that. Now, I knew of no one in my business who had been lucky enough to have hits, number ones, top 40s, who had appeared on Saturday Night Live, and Jay Leno and Conan and all these other shows, who would even dream of attempting such a thing. So I put the word out, and within a week I was booked in the homes, backyards, and living rooms of 90 Smithereens fans coast to coast.
Yeah.
Did it 10 years ago. I decided to do it again now because I'm making a documentary about it.
Oh, awesome.
And we're filming all the shows, and there will be a live album from it as well.
When sorry for the siren there. Huh? That means the phone's ringing. People are trying to call and they don't realize that I'm the only one here.
Why don't you pick it up? We'll take some phone calls.
I don't have the ability to put this phone on the air, unfortunately. Oh. There's another phone line, but I can't give that out. You know, it's college radio, you know. We're very disorganized here, but I'm...
do people in their cars, are they able to hear me?
Yeah. You're being broadcast to at least 20 million people.
It'd be really great to see all of you at the Red Devil Lounge tomorrow night, Saturday. I'm Pat.
Else is playing the show with you?
I don't know. We don't think about stuff like that.
Yeah, you just show up and do your thing. And
it's an evening with Pat D'Anizio, and the show that I do acoustically, just acoustic guitar and myself.
Right.
I tell a lot of stories about how I met Ozzy when I was 15. At jamming.
Oh, you met Ozzy when you were 15?
About meeting Alice Cooper when I was 14. All my rock star stories I tell, I talk about the 60s. A lot of funny stories. I talk about how songs are written. I give a songwriting lesson on stage. And now the Smithereens have 22 albums to draw upon.
Wow.
You know, so there are a lot of songs, and it's a really good show. I would hate to see the show fail because of a lack of support for music in the San Francisco community. I know that this couldn't happen here. It can't happen here.
I think there's enough fans that we can try to get to come see you tomorrow night. We'll pull out the stops.
Well, they tell me there at the Red Devil that all we need is 100 fans in there, and it's a successful gig. It's a small venue. It's intimate.
Right. Yeah, the Red Devil. It's a great place to go see music in a cool part of the city.
And I would venture to say that at age 53, I'm at the top of my game. Play them this new song.
Yeah, we got Pat's solo record. This is from a couple years ago?
No, it's from a year and a half ago.
It's just called Pat D'Anizio.
Yeah, it's Pat D'Anizio, and it's on the Warner Brothers East West label.
Okay. And, any particular track we should...
I would start with track one. It's called Since You Went Away. And it was inspired by the John Lennon Plastic Ono Band album. And this is one of the songs I'll be performing tomorrow night at the Red Devil Lounge in San Francisco.
You're good, man. You're very good. All right, well, you're listening to the Power Pop Show here on KSU. We got Pat D'Anizio, the Smithereens, here in the studio. We're going to play a track from his solo record, and I got some very probing, intimate questions to ask you right after this song. So here you go. It's Pat.
Since you went away, I'm not strong. Waiting for your call, something's wrong. Every single day, time drags on. Life without your love is life too long. Since you went away, since you went away, I wait for you and try to recollect the world we knew. Every single day, time drags on. Life without your love is life too long. Since you went away, since you broke my heart, I've been singing the blues. Since we've grown apart, I've had nothing to lose. Since you went away, since you went away, since you went away. We'll be right back.
Right, that is Pat D'Annunzio in a track from his recent solo album, simply titled Pat D'Annunzio. It's
PD.
PD, yeah. Okay. And
it's called Since You Went Away, and the track written at the kitchen table on one lonely fall evening, and inspired by the John Lennon Plastic Ono Band album, the album that had Mother and all that on it. And well, you know that album.
Inspired lyrically more than musically?
No, just the vibe of it. I mean, right. It's a very minimalist track. There's just guitar, rhythm guitar, bass, drums, a little bit of mellotron, and a slide solo, and that's it.
Did you think about how John Lennon might sound singing that song when you were working on it? Or
no, I didn't, but I do believe that if there was a way to create a sample of his voice, you know, which I could probably do based on past recordings, he would sing the hell out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And the Smithereens do that. That appeared on a recently released live album, the Smithereens Live in Concert. We kick it up a notch. But in this version, the version we just listened to, I'm holding back on purpose. And sometimes it's better when you make records to put a little less on tape or a little less on the track. It gives the song recording a chance to breathe, you know? And you know, it gives you some headspace, you know, because just because you have 48 virtual tracks or 96, whatever, it doesn't mean it's necessary to use it all. I mean, the Beatles stuff was done on 2-track, then 4-track, then 8-track, and the White Album still sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In a lot of cases, you can do more, you can make a better statement with less than
Because you're forced to use something that we've forgotten about in our culture. That's our imagination.
Absolutely. Well, you are listening to the Power Pop Show. Pat D'Annunzio, our special guest in the studio tonight. I have a cheat sheet here of some very probing, interesting questions, the things that I didn't know about you. Can we run through a couple of interesting factoids on you?
Yeah, as long as you don't embarrass me.
No, not at all. The most interesting thing to me, and I have vague memories of this, in 2000, you made a run for the U.S. Senate.
Well,
how the hell did that come about?
I felt that the...
For the state of New Jersey, actually.
Well, not state senate, U.S.
No, Senate seat in the state of New Jersey.
I was always a political creature. It didn't surface in the music lyrically because I felt it didn't belong there. You know, I felt that I was writing about the politics of relations and relationships, and that your happiness was largely determined at any given point in time by the state of the relationship that you were in and out of. But I was involved with politics when I was younger. When I was 18, 19, I held office in my hometown. And I felt at a certain point that we had reached a point of critical mass, which was 9 years ago, whereby neither of the major parties reflected the will of the people, the majority of the people, who were sort of firmly in the middle.
Yeah, I think that can be said to a big degree today, too. Wouldn't you agree?
Certainly.
Yeah.
So I felt that the party at that point that best reflected my point of view was the Reform Party, that party.
Ross Perot, right? Yeah, Ross Perot?
Everyone thought that Ross Perot was a bit wacky because of how he comported himself. But the fact was I felt that the Democrats were too liberal and I felt that the Republicans were too conservative and that neither one of them would even step into an elevator with me for more than 20 seconds. You know what I mean? They'd get out before the doors closed. The Reform Party was about the notion of average Americans who could not be bought or sold, you know, like so many nickels and dimes in some corrupt bureaucrat's pocket or some corrupt industrialist pocket. Average Americans who would serve under term limits. He'd serve one or two, and then they'd have to step down. People who couldn't be bought, people who represented people who looked just like them. That's what it was about.
Why do you think a party like that doesn't have that much traction nowadays? I mean, it seems like such, it's the populist
approach. It's in the interest of the major parties to drive out a third party.
That probably never will happen, will it?
Well, it will happen when people are sick of the way things are, you know. And unfortunately, I don't see it happening anytime soon. But, I mean, you know, say what you will about Ross Perot, as geeky a guy as he was and as unappealing as he was, he created a real third party.
Oh, yeah.
He got enough people.
He got 20% of the vote, didn't he?
It was the only federally recognized official third party. Not even the Green Party could make that claim.
Yeah.
Okay? Not recognized by the government. So in any event, somehow I found myself drafted as their candidate for U.S. Senate. There's a documentary floating around somewhere about it.
Mr. Smithereen Goes to Washington.
Absolutely. And it's a shame because people know there's something wrong. People can feel it. They know that perhaps the major parties are too extreme and don't represent working Americans. Ross Perot was against NAFTA and GATT and the WTO. He was against the downsizing of the American labor movement, against the outsourcing of our labor movement, and he was right. He was absolutely right. That's why we're in the mess we're in. We're just a nation of idiots who are brought up from cradle to grave under the notion that we need to buy things we need with money we don't have. This thing is not a depression. It's a recession. I mean, it's a recession. It's not a recession, rather. It's a depression. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And people had better wake up to what's really, really going on. Unfortunately, you can't throw good money after bad. There's nothing we can do about it except wait it out.
Were you surprised that he didn't make himself more well-known during the last presidential campaign?
No, I was told that Perot he created that party as a political wedge against the Bush family because he hated them. I was told on the inside. I'm curious about Obama because his supporters will never say a negative thing against him, even though he's reneged on every campaign promise that he made so far. It's like, give him a chance. Well, you know, I am.
I've noticed that every time he seems to open his mouth, the stock market goes down. Well, I don't know.
I hear what he's saying, that he has an agenda, and he's not so worried about what, you know, the daily ups and downs of the stock market are doing. But the fact of it is you can't ignore it. And the fact of it is I was shocked in Chicago. First off, he was the only guy that I ever saw give his acceptance speech without anyone on the podium. He did it alone, which is really, really odd.
Huh.
He was there by himself.
Yeah.
Which, number one, was strange. And number two, before he even took the oath of office, he told everyone who voted for him, by the way, I can't make good on anything I promised you. He goes, and you're also going to have to do all the heavy lifting yourself. I was amazed. I never saw it done that way. And no one will say anything about it. And no one will say, well, he's doing a lot of things that are contrary to what he said he was going to do. And they're saying, well, he's got to do it. He has to do it. Does he? Why are we pushing the stimulus package so quickly?
Yeah.
Let's take a couple weeks. It's not going to matter. Take a couple weeks. And you know, I promised not to put any lobbyists into office. He hired three of them. You know, do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
If you're running on an anti-war platform, okay, get us out of Iraq. Don't put any more troops in Afghanistan. Now, all of a sudden, he's got his war and he's going to send 20,000 troops. I thought you were against war, against the military. It's like, and then you talk to people that support him. God bless all of them.
Yeah.
And they will never say anything against him.
Yeah. Well, as appealing as he is to a lot of people, he's, you know, as good of a politician as any of them.
Well,
so that's,
the whole
what
point
got
is,
him there, you know?
Right is right, wrong is wrong. There's no middle ground.
Right.
Don't lie to me. Or as Judge Judy said, don't piss on my leg and
tell me it's raining.
Exactly.
That's right.
And I'm in the middle. I'm more of a libertarian. I'm no Republican. I mean, I'm not that at all.
So So this was in 2000. How did it end up? Obviously, you didn't go to the Senate.
I got a couple percentage points. I got like 2% of the vote.
Who won that seat?
John Corzine, who became a U.S. Senator.
He's the governor now, isn't he?
And then he abandoned his seat to become governor because it's a quicker route to the White House, you see. More governors are elected president.
Yeah, that's true.
But he had a mysterious car crash that broke every bone in his body.
And, it was mysterious?
So they say.
So they say.
And he's a little more...
You didn't think it happened in New Jersey,
he's a little
right?
more benign now, I'd say, in his approach to people. But listen, you don't want the former CEO of Goldman Sachs as your governor or your senator or your
I wouldn't want him president. Running anything to be well, in the light of anything now.
But the problem with the people is that, or rather the sheeple, is that the they sheeple. Think that someone who made a lot of money like that on the stock market, they view this person as being successful, as a role model.
Yeah.
You know? I'd rather vote for somebody homeless than for a guy like John Corzine.
Yeah.
You know? Just remember what the writer Balzac said, and it's in the front of the book, The Godfather. It said, behind every great fortune, there's a crime. And we're seeing it now with Bernie Madoff and all these people.
That's true.
It's toppling the country like a deck of cards. You know? And it's individual greed.
Yeah.
And this is why, when I said we're in the middle of a depression... It's a depression that's going to take 10 or 15 years to turn around. And you better know how to grow your own food. That's all I'm going to tell you. You asked me, you want to hear it. You know, I could expound on this more, but I prefer to do it tomorrow night.
I'm fascinated. Yeah, you got some great insights.
I'd prefer to do this tomorrow night at the Red Devil Lounge, where me, Pat from the Smithereens, will be playing live.
Yeah, everybody should go... check out Pat's show tomorrow night.
I promise you, I won't talk about politics during the show.
Well, you know, you can always throw in a little bit in there. I'm the one that brought it up.
You asked me, and San Francisco is a very unique, very cool, very political town where people speak their minds.
Yeah.
And I love this whole part of the world.
What do you think of the whole Prop 8 issue? Are you familiar with that, the gay marriage? Do you have any stance on that?
I don't want to say exactly what my personal stance on it is because... I was raised a Catholic, but I would say that life is short. Life is way too short. We don't know if we're going to wake up in the morning, and people need to be happy.
I don't know, man. I see a lot more gay people that are kinder and nicer to each other than straight people
that
are married.
That's what I'm saying.
We need a little more of that, I think.
People need to be happy.
Exactly.
And, you know, is it that big a deal? I don't know. You know,
yeah.
It's like, for some people it is, and, you know, for some people it isn't.
So, if you don't mind, moving from politics to sports, another little factoid I was fascinated about was a few years ago you had made an attempt to, I guess you tried out for a minor league baseball team and it was documented on an ESPN show. How did that come about?
It was a TV special that I directed, produced, and starred in called Seventh Inning Stretch. It aired on ESPN2, and it was about... It was a documentary that I made that aired on that international station about my coming off a severely debilitating illness. I had hives that put me on prednisone for about a year and a half, and a very dangerous amount of that terrible steroid that ballooned my weight up to 350 pounds and doubled the size of my head. It was... Not that I didn't have a big head to begin with, of course, but I was very ill. And baseball was my way of getting well again. It was my way of weaning myself off that steroid.
Yeah.
It gave me hope. I started working out, and I got it in my head that I wanted to play ball because I was a really good ball player when I was a kid.
Huh.
So
did you have to pitch this idea to a producer?
Well, into ESPN, and I just hit the right person at the right time with some presentation tools. I had a bat that I had made that said Wonder Boy on it, which was from The Natural,
the
movie with Robert Redford. I had a tape of George Foreman, a motivational tape, where he said, I made my comeback when I was 46. Everyone said, he's too old, he's too fat, he'll hurt himself. But... He said, I knew what inner resources I had. So basically, it was about me trying to make the minor leagues, the Sparky Lyle's team, the Somerset Patriots, not far from where I live in Jersey.
Right.
And Bruce Springsteen is in it for about 20 minutes. And we're sitting around talking baseball, having a catch. Joan Jett is in it, George Thurgood, Gene Simmons from Kiss, I go to his house. Cal Ripken Jr. and Tony Gwynn, who both were inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That's awesome.
David Wells pitches to me at Fenway Park, and I get a hold of one, and I actually hit the Green Monster.
Wow.
Julio Franco, who's now retired, talks about the ethics, the aspects of longevity. And Don Mattingly gives me batting lessons in the battles in the basement of Yankee Stadium. So it's a great show. And
pretty life-fulfilling dreams there for a baseball fan.
I didn't make it, but I saw a lot.
Yeah. And, so this is just a one-time special, or was it a series?
Yeah, it's a one-time special. We're working on a few things right now as a sequel, but they're not necessarily sports-related.
You could pick another sport and try out for it and make another documentary.
I don't know that I enjoy another sport. Curling would be interesting. No, there's nothing like baseball, because I learned at the end of the experience, and I had a batting cage in my driveway in my home in Jersey that was 45 feet long instead of the required 60 feet.
Yeah.
And I was in that cage taking 300 swings at live hardball with a wooden bat. Winter, summer, fall, and spring. No matter what the weather was, I did my 300 swings every day. And at the end of that time, I could actually hit. I could actually see the ball. We talk in terms of, you won't say, I'll give you a lesson, you won't say, Pat, when I get up at the plate, I never miss the ball. Why? Because you're saying never miss, negative. What would you say? Rather, you would say, I always see the ball, I always hit the ball. These are lessons I'm giving you that even Yoda wouldn't be able to put it so succinctly. It's like when someone says to me when I go to a store, I say, thank you for showing me where the Claritin is or whatever it is. And they say, not a problem. No problem. That means that in their mind, there was a problem. I took them away from their normal duties. They betray what they really feel. No is a negative, and problem is really a bad word. No problem, not a problem. What does that mean? Say this, say, happy to help you. Isn't that a better world?
Wow. Put a whole new spin on it. Now I gotta go out and look at the world in a whole new way.
We try to make the world a better place with our music as Smithereens.
All right, I moving on. I have something really funny to show you, and I just literally dug this out on my way down here today.
Is that the cartoon about me?
No. I forgot I even had this, but back in my college days, I was in a band. This is in 1991, and you'll relish in what I'm wearing on stage in this photo.
That's you wearing a Smithereens
tour t-shirt, 1991.
You had dreadlocks?
No, I had really bad long hair.
Jeff Shelton sings with local band Side Effects.
Yeah, you like that? I think you can see your face on the shirt there.
That's great.
I saw you guys, I think it was in 1990, I think, on the 11 tour. I saw you guys and picked up a shirt, and that was like
cool.
A year later I was wearing it there, but I was thinking, man, I got to bring that down.
You look like a rock star.
I look like a rock star. I'm rocking out to... I got the Smithereens vibe seeking into my...
That is from the Smithereens 11 tour.
Yeah.
That's great.
That was a great tour. I remember Jim had a remote, and he was walking around in the audience while he was playing solos, and everyone was, trying to grab him. And I think that was... I saw you one other time, but I remember that was a particularly good tour back in the...
Any tour is good when you're at the top of your career and all the shows are sold out. It's hard to do wrong, you know what I mean?
Was that a good time in your life as far as memories?
Every day I wake up and I'm alive and breathing, I have to say, well, I'm a lot better than the people who are on the wrong side of the grass. I don't know what happens when you die. So every time I wake up, and I'm alive, I'm sort of happy, yeah. I mean, it's never going to be 1986 for me again. I realize that. But nor will it be 1986 or 1996 for anybody.
Sure.
The world changed radically for everybody. I'm not a kid, but I have the attitude of a child or a young man, because I'm lucky in that people have given me a chance to continue making music after 29, 30 years. I mean, it's not lost on me. I'm a very lucky person.
Yeah.
I'm in general good health. I need to get in better shape, and I need to eat better and lose a little weight, but again, I'm 53 years old. I'm not a kid. I think personally, I'm a better singer, I'm a better songwriter than I was when I first started out. It's just that everything has changed around me. The fact that we're still together is amazing. You know, there's very few of the bands left from that era that are still playing and still making good records.
Are there any plans for a new Smithereens album?
Yeah, we start recording around May 15th.
Awesome.
The next thing that's coming out on May 5th is our version of Tommy by The Who. We cut out all the kind of weak tracks from Tommy by The Who, and we recorded it Smithereen style, so it sounds like a, not like a rock opera, but like a punk rock opera.
Okay. And this is as the Smithereens.
I'm giving you beautiful lines here, Jeff. Yeah. Punk rock opera.
Okay.
and it's a Smithereens album. It's a tribute to Tommy by The Who that comes out May 5th. And it's all the great songs from Tommy. And I put out a live album about 8 months ago, 70 minutes long, recorded on the campus of Rutgers University at the Core Tavern where we started. Put out two Beatles tributes, the first of which was accorded several full pages in the New York Times.
It's called Meet the Smithereens
with the bobbleheads.
Yeah.
Recorded a sequel to that due to popular demand. I recorded a ballads album with just myself and a piano player doing standards of my generation, songs like Wichita Lineman, For No One by the Beatles, California Dreamin', done Sinatra style with just a piano player and nothing else. That was on Universal's Fuel label. We put out the Buddy album, Buddy Holly album, and my solo album. So there's been a total of like 8 or 9 albums in within 2.5 years. So we're as active as anyone, and perhaps more active than we've been in a long time.
So a new original Smithereens album is starting to. You're going to start recording in the spring. Do you think it'll be out this year?
Yes, it'll be out by October. Absolutely.
All original stuff.
All original. It might be 2 CDs.
Wow. And is this the same other lineup of guys?
Well, you know, it depends. It all depends. I mean, the band as exists right now is myself. I'm the singer, Pat Denizio.
Right.
And I write the songs and play guitar. Jimmy Babjack, our original guitar player, who is one of the world's greatest rock and roll guitar players.
Yeah, I agree.
Dennis Dykin on drums, who is a walking encyclopedia of the drums and a master music historian who is indeed one of the all-time greats on drums and only gets better with each passing and more powerful. On the bass, a fellow from Los Angeles who we call the Thriller from Manila.
Okay.
And he'll be with me at the Red Devil Lounge accompanying me on bass on some stuff. He's an old friend of ours who's a veteran of the scene down there with a big heart and an even bigger bass sound, and we were lucky to have him step in when we lost our beloved original bass player, Mike Mazaros, who lives in the San Francisco area. Mike retired after 26 years.
So he's around in the Bay Area now, but not doing music?
I don't know what he's doing. We miss him. We love him. And
you keep in touch?
Not so much. No. Yeah. I mean, everyone has their own lives, their own families.
I hope he comes to see you tomorrow.
It would be nice to see him. It would be. I would cry to see him.
Well, you're in his backyard, you know. But San Francisco's a pretty small place.
I think he, you know,
did his thing.
26 years is a long time. 25 years.
Yeah.
And I think he's happy doing what he's doing with his family, and we miss him.
Yeah. Well, a lot of great history. Should we play another track from the either the Buddy Holly or your solo record? Do you have a choice we can give people?
Let's go with a track from my solo record. Let me see what we have here on there.
You haven't memorized the track listing, huh?
No, I really don't. I'm going to make the records, and then I kind of forget about them. I think that if there's another hit, if you want to go hit-bound,
sure,
go with track number 4, which is called Any Other Way.
Okay. All right. Well, you are listening to KSCU and the Power Pop Show here with Pat Denizio, our special guest.
Who will be appearing where?
Red Devil Lounge tomorrow night. Special acoustic show, storytelling, and lots of great songs. Everybody should go and tell your friends to go.
Oh, please help me.
RedDevilLounge.com. I'm pretty sure, I'm 99% sure that's the website. Tickets and information there. 21 and over, right?
I believe so. Well, it is a bar unless liberal San Francisco has changed the law.
I think 99% of people that live in the city are over 21 anyway. So, anyway, this is a track from Pat's latest, his latest original solo record. Here you go, Pat Denizio on the Power Pop Show, KSCU.
I'm a fool in love with you, and there's many other things that I could do. You broke my heart, I chose to stay, and you know I wouldn't have it any other way. I tried and tried to run away, but you broke my will, and now I've got to stay. I'm a fool, that's what they say. Comes a time to tell the truth for the same mistakes that I made in my youth. She broke my heart, I chose to stay.
It is KSCU 103.3 FM. Music from Pat Denizio right there from his recent solo album. We're joined in the studio with Pat here, who's just kind enough to hang out. We're talking sports, we're talking politics, we're talking music, talking everything. I think we've covered a lot of ground here, and you're playing a show, a private party tonight in Campbell.
Well, it's part of my living room tour again, which was... inspired by the grants program that I ran for Jim Beam.
Right.
You know,
and these are all house parties all across the country.
Yeah,
people.
The real joy of it is that I turn up in the driveway of in my little rented car of folks I've never met before, people that I've only had communication with via email or via telephone. And they're some of the most heartwarming, life-affirming experiences that anyone could ever want. And they get to come up and sing with me if they want. It really has a lot of meaning. I'm not the greatest in the world at what I do, but I'm up there. I'm good, you know. And,
sure.
And we have fans, and it means a lot to them. And you know, I'm prefacing that by saying that because I'm not saying I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. And you know, it's a big, you know, your privilege to come up and sing with me. It's fun for people.
Sure.
And it's almost like rock and roll fantasy camp, which is popular. For everybody. I mean, I'm logging a lot of miles.
Yeah. No, I just looking at your schedule, I mean, there were dozens and dozens and dozens of shows one after the other.
Yeah.
How do these that's kind of interesting how it comes about. I mean, people contact you, you put the word out that you're doing this in a certain period of time.
An interesting website. It's patdinizio.com.
Yeah, we should plug that.
patdinizio.com. The Smithereens is official smithereens.com.
Right.
We have a MySpace page, myspace.com/officialsmithereens. You know, so we're out there with everybody else, on a par with everybody else. And the folks that love what the Smithereens do, they go to my webpage, they go to Jimmy's webpage, jimbabjack.com, they go to the Smithereens page, and they see that I have an entrepreneurial bent. I like to create things that people don't do. I have events at my house, Memorial Day parties, where the fans fly in from all over the country. They fly in from Alaska, Louisiana, Canada. They fly in from Europe. They fly in from New England, from the Midwest. And we have a three-day Memorial Day picnic. It's a different crowd every day, but it's all the food you can eat, all the booze and soda pop you can drink, and we have always at least half the Smithereens there playing.
Cool.
And live music, and you get to bring your guitar and jam with us. And that's at my house. And then during the month of October, I have a combination Halloween party, birthday party, where the fans fly in. This time it's in my house. So we do different fun things. We're trying to push the envelope and go where no one else would go or dream of going or think of going, to make things interesting and fun for people. And for me, it's about people connecting right now. Beside simply, you know, the fact that what is it that I do for a living, Jeff? Well, I'm a musician. I write songs and I sing and I play guitar. In good times and in bad times, we continue to make records. We continue to do what it is that we do. But in the end, what we do is we're shaman of sorts. We heal people with music. As corny as that sounds, when I went to see Led Zeppelin all those times when I was a kid, or Jethro Tull, or the Ramones when we toured with them, we were, in a sense, healed by the music. Not necessarily cured,
But
it was a laying of hands on us, in a sense. When we walked away from a show feeling better than when we walked in, that was the miracle of rock and roll. And that is what I attempt to do on any given night. I want people to walk away from a show I've done feeling better than when they walked in. Then I've done my job. I've made someone happy. And I feel good about my life as a result, you know. And this is, it's not BS. It's real. It is very real. When you can say that you love what you do for a living, no matter how stressful or no matter how many miles it takes to get from point A to point B, or no matter how tired you are, if you can summon up the strength to carry on, to give that good show despite the fact that you're fatigued or your voice hurts, you know, to reach out and talk to people and make time for people, it's important. We need more of that. This is why I tell you that there's no quick fix to the situation in our country. It was caused by greed.
Yeah.
It was caused by impropriety.
Yeah.
And greed and selfishness and lies and deceit.
Right.
And it's going to take a lot of time for it to turn around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to take a decade at least. I don't want to bug people out. But if you think it's going to happen tomorrow, you're sadly mistaken. You know,
a decade of goodwill and diligence to overturn a year or two of bad generation.
I think we have to examine our motives and why we live the sort of lives we do. What's really important? You know, is it important to have everything? Or is it important to have a good relationship with your kids and your friends and have real friends that are going to be there? It's like the poor old miser, you know, who dies alone in bed.
Yep.
Or the person who spent his life doing things for other people, who's surrounded by the people who loved him, holding his hand while he dies.
Yeah.
What would you rather be? You know, and this is the problem with the country. You know, it's...
This guy
Bernie Madoff is going to cop a plea. This guy might get away with this thing. He ruined people. You know, the guys from Enron and Tyco, they ruined people's lives. How do you keep the faith of the people, the will of the people, when your leaders of industry, your captains of industry, turn out to all be corrupt? When your political leaders can be bought and sold for three pieces, you know, of silver or gold, you know, that.
Yeah.
when the big corporations donate equally to the Republicans and to the Democrats, when there's flip sides, the parties are playing together, having lunch together, laughing up their sleeve at the rubes that elected them. When you don't have enough money to attract the attention of the people that you elect, come on. Who's zooming who? What's the problem here, you know? When we find that the people that run our religious institutions are pedophiles, it's like, what am I supposed to believe in? You want me to do right? You want the average person to pay their taxes and step up to the plate and be a good citizen? Well, give me an example that I can follow.
Yeah.
And I'll follow you, you know?
Do you have any more aspirations to get back in politics? Or has that been there, done that?
I have a checkered past because of the band. I've done too many things in my life that would probably disqualify me, you know. Nothing really bad, but the standard crazy rock and roll lifestyle that was led for a while.
Hey, Jesse Ventura can get elected governor, you know. Go on.
You know what? The only way that you get anything done is by joining their team, and I don't want to play for their team.
Yeah.
I want to have my own team with a bunch of people that believe what I believe.
Yeah.
That's the third party system in action.
Yeah.
We desperately need a third party. But the minute you talk about it, people get scared. People are scared right now to express their feelings. They're afraid they're gonna get put away or something.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of weird stuff at night. I saw a guy and his family in a U-Haul truck at a gas station somewhere near Bakersfield, around there. And he was heading for the Canadian border. You know? And he said, were you on the 5? I said, yeah. He goes, they diverted you, right? I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, that fake hazardous spill. I said, what do you mean fake? He goes, well, it's a military exercise. They're seeing how we relate to crowd control. He goes, we're leaving. We're going to Canada. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? No, I mean, I'm just telling you what I saw.
Yeah.
I'm not making a judgment on it. I'm not commenting on it, saying it's typical at all. But if I see one of those or two of those, and I'm traveling at night going gig to gig, driving vast amount of miles on this tour, there's a weird undercurrent out there, and it's better for people to know.
Yeah.
Tell people about it, you know? And, you know, we just need to have an honest culture, and I think somewhere we made a wrong turn. We made a turn in the wrong direction. I'm not preaching. All I can tell you is what I know. I'm not perfect. Lord knows I wish I could do the right thing all the time. I'm not that strong, you know. But you asked me about politics. It would involve joining one of those teams and allowing myself to become corrupted to get anything done. It's just how they do it.
Yeah.
Watch any of the Frank Capra movies from the 30s. You watch Meet John Doe. Watch Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, and watch, more importantly, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Right.
These need to be prerequisites for kids in school. Watch Meet John Doe and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And the problems that we have now are not new.
No.
They existed then. They've existed since time immemorial. And we've got to straighten out, you know. And it's a choice. Well, bite the bullet and straighten out and save your country. Because your country gave a lot to you, you know. What about those guys that went to World War II? 20-year-old kids, they gave up their lives so that we could live the way we live. Who thinks about that? You know? I know I'm crazy, but, you know,
you're putting a lot of perspective, I think, on a lot of the way a lot of people feel, you know, they can't articulate it the way
really
you do.
Nobody really wants to hear about it. Nobody wants to hear about anything bad, but it's funny. There's a beautiful documentary about the late John Cassavetes, the filmmaker, and the title sums up the way I feel on any given day after 20 minutes of watching the news, and the title of it is, I'm Almost Not Crazy.
That is that sums it up.
What are you going to play for that?
Let's take everybody out. We got to wrap up the show here. Can we take some people out with another track from the Buddy Holly album?
Yeah, and I want to thank everybody for listening. It's Pat from the Smithereens online.
Yeah. Thank you for coming to KSU, by the way.
Thank you, Jeff.
I appreciate your time.
PatDenizio.com.
Yeah.
We're going to go out with a string-laden version of Words of Love by Buddy Holly. That song that the Beatles recorded. And,
right.
This is typical of what you'll get from this record. I'll see everybody tomorrow night, Saturday, at the Red Devil Lounge on Polk Street in beautiful San Francisco. Next to New York City, where I live, San Francisco is the greatest city in America.
Yeah, everybody go out and see Pat tomorrow night. RedDevilLounge.com for tickets and information. It's a great little venue in the city. He's doing an acoustic show. We'll be doing lots of cool songs and I'm sure a few stories and tidbits. So please go check out his show tomorrow night and his website, PatDenizio.com, for all the house party tours and information and things that are coming
house
up.
House concerts, not house parties.
House concert, okay. Got to get that official.
Living room.
These aren't parties. These aren't drunken free for alls,
no,
right? They're
the
concerts.
Thing. Some of them have turned into frat party guys like you. No offense, guys like you. A little too much boozo, and you get up.
I'm complimented. You call me a frat boy. That takes about 15 years off my age.
Oh, it's good. You look young. You're right.
Anyway, thanks, Pat. Power Pop Show signing off. DJ Clev, we'll be here in a few minutes for Dub Rock Radio. That's coming up every Friday. You can catch Power Pop Show here 5 to 7 on KSCU and also online at kscu.org. We're going to take you out with a track from Pat's latest tribute album. This is the Buddy Holly tribute, new album on Koch Records. Go to his website, patdenizio.com, for more info. And once again, go see him tomorrow night. The Red Devil Lounge, San Francisco. It's Power Pop Show signing off. We'll see you next week. Closer.